Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's the end of the quarter. Today's April 3rd, 2017. That means it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Mickey, it's that time of the month again.
It's that time of the month and that time of the quarter, Kerry.
Yeah, the quarter is over. And, you know, there's just certain things that you don't really get unless you go back and you look at the markets over time, because we get so wrapped up in our day-to-day existence that you just lose sight. And, you know, this quarter, first quarter of the year, the markets really moved. Metals moved, share prices moved, dollar was down a bit, but we'll go into all that. But there were some major significant moves in the markets.
Well, there were, but they were not quick moves. They were trends. And overall, the quarter, the month and the quarter were of very low volatility. And we've noticed this since the Trump election. We've had low volatility in most things. So let's get started here. We set all-time highs on all four major U.S. markets on March the 1st, but we couldn't hold that. The Dow ended the month at 2663, lost less than percent, but more importantly, it was up 4.6% over the quarter. Similar thing, S&P 500 closed flat at 2363, a point off last month's close, but up 5.5% over the quarter. The big performer was NASDAQ, set an all-time high, not only the 1st of March, but also on the 30th on Thursday, closed at 59.12, up 1.5% over the month, almost 10% over the quarter. The laggard this month was the Russell 2000, basically down a point over the month, closed at 13.86, but it was only up 2% for the quarter. So it was the underperformer in the major U.S. markets.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. So you'd think, with all the dumb money flowing into the market, probably would have gone higher. So maybe there's some caution taking place.
And some profit taking too, no doubt.
No doubt. So then we go into our other markets there, Canadian markets.
Yeah, there was weakness in oil and gold stocks over the month. So the Toronto Venture Exchange actually was up 1%, but that was basically because it fell drastically on the 28th of February. It underperformed over the quarter, up 1.7%. The Venture Exchange was just basically flat and vacillating most of the month. This is generally a slow time for that market. Close at 8.16. Off a point for the month, but more importantly, up 7% year to date. The emerging market index, those markets had a very strong month and very strong quarter. Closed at 9.58, up 2.4% over the month and over 11% on the quarter. And meanwhile, we had already alluded to this, the VIX has been very low, closed at 12.36 on Friday. We have had only one day since the Trump election where the S&P 500 has moved more than 1%, and that's quite unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. And the only other thing I would point out is that the Venture Exchange is still less than 50% of the high since we've been tracking it, which took place, the monthly high on February 29th, leave it to being a leap year, of 2012, which was 1672. So it's at 816 now. It's less than 50% of that high.
Well, I will pile on to that, take Kerry, and it is off from its post-global economic crisis high of 1240 in March of 2011. So it is still less than a third of its of that high,
yeah.
Which is the second biggest move we've ever seen.
Yeah, so
a real long way to go.
I do believe that every dog has its day, though, and this dog will have its day once again, no doubt.
Well, you know, I'm of the opinion we're in an incipient bull market for commodities. It's going to there's going to be fits and starts as commodity demand continues to increase. But I'm convinced it will.
No doubt. Look, population increase alone dictates that. And then we go to the money markets here.
Yeah, the U.S. dollar had an up and down month. It was as high as just under 102 and as low as just above 99. It kind of closed in the midpoint there at 100.35, lost 1% over the month and 2% over the quarter. The euro shows a likely rise in that same realm with $1.07 up 1.4% over the quarter. But we should take a look at our 5-year tracking or 6-year tracking now almost, and it's still low at basically a dollar and change. 10-year treasuries were stable, even though we had a mid-month rate rise of 0.25%, close at 2.40. That rate has basically been flat since the Trump election, essentially. And finally, Bitcoin had negative month, down almost 2%, although it was up 13% on the quarter. And I think the last time we talked, we discussed the SEC approval of a Bitcoin ETF. And as I predicted, they vetoed that. There it will be no ETF for Bitcoin in the United States for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they mentioned something about there being too much fraud in Bitcoin, but I guess they haven't looked at Wall Street lately, right?
Well, it's small fraud versus the playing with the big boys, you know.
Yeah,
too big to fail. So we'll leave that where it is. That's a topic of a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, and I would just point out interest rates. The yield curve is flattening out. And
that, well, it has. I mean, that was my point, Gary. It's been flat since the Trump election.
Well,
so despite interest rate rises and despite increasing inflation.
Short term and long term, I'm saying the yield curve itself is flattening, which is never a good sign for the economy and could be pointing to a recession, perhaps.
I don't quite buy into that with if Trump is successful with his infrastructure build out and tax cuts.
Big if, but that remains to be seen. And we move right along to the metals, which actually had quite a quarter, even though the month itself was kind of a downer, a minor downer or flat.
Yeah, it was a volatile month. Gold went below 1200 briefly and went above 1250 a few times, but it does not seem to be able to get above the resistance at 1260. All in all, the precious metals had very good Q1 performances, except for platinum. Gold was up 8.5% over the quarter, closed at 1249. Silver up 14.5% over the quarter, closed at 1819. Palladium was up 17% over the quarter, closed just under 800 at 796. And platinum lost 7% over the month, although it gained 5% over the quarter to close at 948. A rough month for platinum. Meanwhile, copper continues to consolidate in this 260 to 270 range. Now, it went a little below and it went a little above that range, we kind of like this consolidation at this level before what we think will be the next leg up. And I should say that this is despite some severe supply disruptions over the month. Escondida was shut down for 43 days due to a strike. Cerro Verde was shut down for a strike. The Grasberg Freeport's giant mine in Indonesia is on the verge of nationalism, and it's producing at about 40% of normal. So despite that, copper did not move much over the month. Closed at 263.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of basing here at that price. So perhaps it's going to go higher from that point.
So, I would expect so.
Yeah. So onto the energies, and Yeah, it was a rough ride for WTI. It was under $50 for quite a while, but finished out just over. Anyways.
Yeah, well, we got hit in the end of the last week of March till essentially mid last week with very much concerns about continued oversupply. That went on for 3 weeks. Oil dropped from $54, which it closed at the end of February, dropped below 48 a couple of times. It rallied at the end of mid to end of last week for really no known reason, except that that's what it did. So it ended the month at 50.72, down 6% and down almost 6% for the quarter. There's great concern here with U.S. shale production increasing. Rig counts are soaring well above 800 now, but compare that with 1900 at some point. But the drilled and not completed, especially in the Permian Basin, are soaring right now. It is estimated that there are 300,000 barrels of shutdown oil production, or basically not fracked, not completed, waiting to come online in the Permian Basin. So this will continue to overhang the oil market for some time. U.S. shale is very resilient. I sent you an article last week that Shell says its break-even point in the Permian Basin now is $20 a barrel. Brent followed suit, down 6% over the quarter, closed at $53.47. Henry Hub had a good month, up 15%, even though we are coming in the low demand season. But it was down 18% over the quarter, closed at $3.10.
Interesting. So at $3.10, we're at the end of the season. Based on the performance over the past few years, that's not a bad price.
No, it is. It's pretty good price. And I've read some analyst views that they're looking at Henry Hub in a consolidation phase, taking a pause, but quite bullish for the remainder of the year. Meanwhile, uranium had a nice Q1, up 17%. It was basically flat over the month, closed at 24.25. But we got to realize there's still no spot demand for uranium. And so it will consolidate in this range or show weakness over the coming months.
Yeah. And then I was at some company's presentation, and they said in the next few years, the utilities have to renew their long-term supply contracts. So probably a favorable price outlook for uranium in the long term anyway.
Yeah, I would say in the mid to long term, I remain a uranium bull. In fact, I will be speaking about that very subject in New York in early June. The utilities have not come back into the market. And with Kazakhstan's 10% cuts, some positive news on Japanese restarts, we've just got to get through this short-term oversupply, work those inventories off, and then we'll be good to go again.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt. I think it's going to happen. Hey, and go to our ratios. The only one really that caught my eye was the platinum to gold. It's down to 0.76.
Yeah, it's down, pushing its all-time low, which we've discussed before. At 0.76, platinum has shown great weakness over the last, year and a half or longer now, continuing weakness with respect to gold. And also with respect to palladium, we are down to a platinum to palladium ratio less than 1.2. We haven't seen that for a long time, probably since the platinum embargo by the Russians and the hoarding by a big U.S. automaker back in the early 90s. But that said, continued buy signal for platinum.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it hasn't gone that low since back in February of last year, interestingly enough.
So, and that was a one-off one month deal. But so palladium is strong basically because U.S. automakers and Chinese automakers, auto demand worldwide is very strong. And so that demand drives the palladium market, and palladium has really operated in a very contrarian fashion to the other precious metals for well over half a year now.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to keep our eye on that one for sure. And then the only other one that's moving down substantially is the WTI to Henry Hub.
That happened, but basically because oil went down and gas went up this month. So whether that's sustainable or not is something that I have no idea about.
Yeah, could be a one-off, or maybe it's an emerging trend here. We don't really know, but keep an eye on that. Anyways, I think that's it for this month, and we will be back around the same time in May to figure out what happened in April. And yeah, the stock markets, Mickey, they just are overwhelmingly bullish and strong. And we hear these guys say, well, you know, the bull market could end any moment. But I think the old adage is true that stocks climb on a wall of worry. And this bull market has been no different.
Well, that's true, Kerry. And I'm not really ready to call for a correction at this point. I think we're going to have to see how Trump plays out with his tax cuts and infrastructure build out.
Yeah, I think you're correct. So on that note, go visit Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com, your Twitter feed, and your audio site, Mickey?
At Mercenary Geo and mercenarygeologist.fm.
All right. And our site's at Kerry Lutz. And the Facebook page is Financial Survival Net. Mickey, we'll talk to you again next month. You be well.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.